Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome everybody. Welcome members of the gallery. Welcome councillors and staff. Today is the Georgetown Council Ordinary Council meeting of the 27th of May 2025. We'll start as our custom with an acknowledgement of country. The Georgetown Council acknowledges the Palawa people from the Litramarina tribe from Port Dalrymple as the traditional custodians of the land. We honour and give thanks for the caring of country, seas and skies of Kinimata Te Kinta and surrounds. We pay respect to the elders past, present and future, for they hold the memories, traditions, culture and hope of Pākehā people in Litruwita. Just remind members of the gallery that the Georgetown Council does not authorise or condone any recording of the proceedings of the meetings. We will, however, distribute the recording, official recording from council. Our attendance register in item one. So we'll start firstly with our councillors. We have Councillor Heather Barwick, Councillor Winston Mason, Councillor Heather Ashley, Councillor Winston Archer, Councillor Tim Harris, Councillor Simone Lowe, Councillor Jason Orr, Councillor and Deputy Mayor Greg Dawson, and Councillor and Mayor Greg Keyser. From the staff side, we have our General Manager Shane Power, our Director of Corporate and Community Cheryl Hyde. We have our Director of Organisational Performance and Strategy Rick Dunn. We have our Director of Infrastructure and Development Andrew McCarthy. We have our Senior Executive Assistance and Governance Officer, Louise Dickinson, assisted today by Kobe Roach. Welcome, Kobe. Apologies, we have nil. So item two is confirmation of the minutes. Item 2.1 is the minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting held on the 29th of April. Can I call for a mover and a seconder to receive those minutes? Mover is Councillor Harris, seconded by Councillor Mason. Councillor Harris.
Thank you, Mayor. Nothing to add, just to receive the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Harris. Councillor Mason.
No, everything seems to be in order, Mayor. Thank you
very much. I'll open the floor to speakers for or against. Councillor Barwick.
I don't believe that the minutes are correct, Mr. Chairman. It was successfully moved by myself and Councillor Mason to take out of the closed session of council the report for Beechford on the drains, and it is just listed as an item taken out of closed session. Nothing at all in the document that if anyone went to look at the minutes, they would just see that council moved item 2.1, stormwater drainage for Beechford listed, to be discussed and closed into open session. Under item 9.1, infrastructure and development, it says no report or anything in there other than just that. Thank you.
Well, I think so, Councillor Barwick, I do think has a point, so the minutes should reflect that that item was moved from closed to opened, and then the minutes should reflect the discussion of the item. Well, at least you should materially and consistently with what we do normally report the item. Have you got a page number in the minutes in the pack, Councillor Barwick? I'm trying to find it myself. Duly noted, thank you. We will amend that accordingly to reflect that. Well, good. No, that one, not that one. No.
It came through under 2.1. Stormwater drainage plan for Beechford.
You're talking about the closed numbering.
Sorry?
You're talking about the closed numbering, right?
Yeah, I've got that closed session here. It went into closed session, but it didn't actually meet the requirements of being in closed session.
Well, the council moved to move it to open, so that was carried.
The council did move it to move into open.
So in short, we accept the, I do accept, I think you'll be picked it up, and we will make sure that the motion that was in the closed session is reflected in the minutes of open, because it was carried in open.
Thank you.
Any other ones you picked up? Anyone else?
I'm just a little bit confused, Joe, in the minutes, I thought it says that it was moved from open, from closed to open already.
Correct, but then you should actually have the motion as well listed in the minutes as to what you actually moved into open.
In the agenda.
In the agenda, correct. That is correct. Anyone else? Councillor Harris to close.
I just wonder if that, if that item is actually in there and it's.
Hold on, it is in there, see.
Follow that, that's the motion.
There is it, so. And then underneath it is the resolution, no, it is in there, Councillor Barwick. There it is, so it's listed as point 9.2 directly underneath it. And if I'm looking at it, it does have the voting, it does have. Okay, but truncated. Let me work with the.
We must have a different agenda.
No, it is, but it's truncated. It doesn't sort of show the normal passage of a motion in terms of what is included and doesn't show the usual depth of information. So we'll move to modify that so it is at least consistent with our standard minutes.
Is
it?
Yes.
All right, we'll work on that together. Anyway, the point is made. We will work on that. I give you my commitment. Thank you. Councillor Harris to close.
So closed.
Thank you very much. We'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. And we are unanimous. Thank you. Late items this month, there are nil. Declarations of interest under Section 4, councillors, pertaining to today's agenda before you. Do any of you want to declare a real or perceived conflict of interest?
Yeah, 7.1,
I think, right?
Yeah, 7.1.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Archer. Does anybody else have any items in the agenda they'd like to declare a conflict with? None. The record will reflect that Councillor Archer has declared item 7.1. Thank you, sir. That leads us to public question time. So I'll give you all my normal story. We, the Georgetown Council, sets aside for public question time at least 15 minutes. Questions given on notice are addressed first. One question on notice have been addressed. Persons who have registered interest to ask a question are called to do so in the order in which they have registered. Participants cannot ask more than two questions in a row, and you have a maximum of 2 minutes per question. And I ask you all, for the sake of brevity, please get your question and avoid your preamble. Every effort will be made to give you the best answer we possibly can. However, if we do not have the information available on hand, we may elect to give you a response in writing. Time now is 1:07. All right. I do have questions from Mrs. Wharton. Thank you, Lorraine. Would you like to come forward, say your name and address, and we'll have a go at it.
Lorraine Wharton, Lowhead.
Welcome.
In regard to the quarterly report, Windmill Point interpretive signage, installation and replacement, I notice in this report that there is only, still only $6,211 expended from the $20,000 allocated for this. It seems a lot for what we were told would be just one small sign, but it it's nearly June now, and it must be 10 years or more since the history interpretation panels from Windmill Point and York Cove mysteriously disappeared, and nearly that long since Eddie Freeman carved the Macrocarpa trunks, and a few years since this was included in the budget. Some months ago, I heard that the interpretation was with whoever was making the signage, but it's still not there. Well, it wasn't a few days ago. My question is, how much longer will it be before visitors and locals can read about the significance of that historic site and what the carvings are all about?
Thank you for your question. Through the chair to the general manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I understand that the sign has been ordered, it's been commissioned, and I understand it would be installed in the coming weeks.
Coming weeks?
Coming weeks. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And can I have...
You must certainly, mate. Go for it.
On the interpretation. In regard to the Mount George signal station and semaphore site, I was really pleased last year when the semaphore mast on Mount George had finally been re-erected, but very disappointed to see that both arms of the mast had been aligned with the pole rather than being offset as the four replica semaphores up the Tamar Valley were originally installed and as the others still are. I know it was agreed to fix the arms so that they weren't loose and damaged by the wind, but they could have been fixed in a more appropriate manner that, you know, you could see what they're meant to be. It's just like a pole with its arms by its sides.
Fair enough.
When the original mast was deemed a danger to visitors, Parks and Wildlife removed the main interpretation panel near the base of the semaphore mast, but advised that it would be kept in storage and replaced when the mast was repaired. It has not yet been replaced, despite there being no danger. So my question is, can Council please liaise with Parks and Wildlife to have the interpretation panel returned as soon as possible so that visitors know what they're looking at? And also, is it possible to have those arms on the new semaphore mast offset as it was before so that it gives a better idea of how these historic structures worked?
Through the chair to the general manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We can certainly make inquiries with Parks and Wildlife Services for the return of the interpretation board, so we'll do that. And I'll have to consult with some of my staff around the structural requirements to have the arms outset on a permanent basis.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have also Mrs. Judd with a question on statistics. Please take to the podium.
Debbie Judd, Lowhead. So, does the Georgetown Council delight in insulting its ratepayers? Last month I questioned your statistics that said Georgetown is the most unhealthy town in Tasmania, which is contrary to Primary Health Tasmania statistics. This month I question your statement on page 22, the Georgetown Open Space Network Plan, which says, compared to Tasmania and Australia, Lowerhead has a lower than average income level, tertiary education attained, and a higher proportion of people have long-term and mental health conditions. I've tallied numbers of current and retired professionals living and owning property at Lowerhead, and these are people that I personally know of. There's many more I don't. So I've tallied we have 12 doctors, 18 nurses, one vet, three pharmacists, one hypnotherapist, one speech therapist, one radiologist, one journalist, one occupational therapist, one paramedic, 31 teachers, 30 CEOs / managers, directors, consultants, five lawyers, six accountants, seven engineers, six pilots, three ocean-going seafarers, one movie producer, two architects, one surveyor, three valuers, two stock agents, nine agriculturists, four health and safety professionals, two firefighters, two police officers, two civil construction, 35 trades, and there's six uni degrees where their profession's unknown to me. In these statistics, I've not included Bellboy Beach, as the only professional person I know living at Bellboy Beach is Caroline Mooney. So yet again, I ask, where do you get your statistics from? And don't you think it's time to review the quality of your source?
Thank you for your question, Mrs. Judge. So on the health side specifically, I'm not going to comment on the low head one specifically. As you know, we've had this debate before. I don't wish to retread that water, except to say that if you have
I'm not asking about the health. I'm asking about the low socio-economic and tertiary education attained.
I'll hand that to the General Manager, but on that issue, you know, any inquiries are best directed to the Bureau of Statistics and to the Department of State Growth. On the low head specific, I'll defer to the General Manager through the Chair to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I haven't got that reference in front of me, but I can confirm that the data that you've relied on in the past, as you've just mentioned, is available through profile.id.com.au. It relies on the Census of Population and Housing data conducted in 2021. And it refers to a number of different long-term health conditions. And we, as the Mayor has said, was commissioned by Department of State Growth. So I understand the public or the Primary Health Tasmania are using a separate data set than what has been relied on.
That was last month's question. This month's question is about the low rate of tertiary education at low head.
I'm also told that it's taken from the 2021 census data. Again,
so how does the census data split low head and Georgetown, or is it all compiled?
I'd direct you to the ABS to have a look.
And does the census data, it asks people their primary residence? So there are a lot of people who their low head residence is their secondary residence, so this data is inaccurate.
Well, you may well be right. And again, I urge you to contact either the Bureau of Statistics or the Department of State Growth. I'm sure they'd be very interested to hear your observations.
But you're using that data, which is incorrect, in your document.
Oh, well, it is the official published data.
So do you admit that it is incorrect?
No, I will confess that it is the official Australian government sanctioned data and the official data published by the Department of State Growth. It's not a work of fiction.
Which is a source
their,
you choose to use. I'm sure there's many other sources that are
data.
Correct.
It is their data. Thank you very much. Right. Anybody else? Mr. Glisson?
I've got a question about the same document, if I can. And before I do, I just want to confirm today's agenda includes the Lowhead Pathway Network Plan.
Yes.
Not the Open Space Network.
That is correct.
There are two different, yeah. In the draft on the Lowhead Open Space Plan, on page 18, it says that, and I'll quote it for you, there are more couples without children in Georgetown Council compared to, and it says 50.4% compared to Tasmania, 44.5%. There are less couples with children in Georgetown. The following line says there are less couples in Georgetown, 29.4%, than there are in the state of Tasmania, 38.8%, approximately 17.9% in Georgetown councils, and then it goes on. It conflicts, contradicts itself in the following two sentences. I'm trying to work out which of those figures you're relying on and which ones you're not.
It's a good observation. It sounds a little bit confusing to me too. Maybe we could get Andrew. Are you able to field that question? It's Andrew McCarthy, through the chair to Andrew McCarthy, our Director of Infrastructure and Works.
Thank you, through the chair. There's been the draft plan that's been circulated, and there's been a number of comments and feedback which have been fed back to the consultants, and any adjustments that need to be made will be made prior to the final document.
Thank you.
So are they making decisions based on the revised document or...?
Always.
Will the corrected document be made available for the ratepayer to have a look at?
So yes.
Now you're going to say...
If I may just interrupt you. You will frequently find that the draft documents are really working form. They may contain numerous errors. Once they've passed through this council, they've had review, and they are then passed, then the final document will actually be published typically on our website for the community's consumption.
All right, thank you.
You could call call it peer review, if you would. Anyone else? There being none, we'll move forward. I note the response provided to Ms. Fiona Hills under 5.4, Mr. Glisson under 5.4, and Jenny Baxter. Section 6 is the General Manager's Declaration. Thank you, Shane. That leads us to Section 7, Planning Authority. Record will reflect Councillor Archer has left the meeting, thank you, sir, at 1:19. Item 7.1 is DA 2024/108. This is for a rather significant solar farm which is planned for 381 Soldier Settlement Road that bridges a number of different titles. The report is long reading, to say the least, and I can say for those who have waded their way through it, because of the various different titles, if it appears repetitious, it's because that is a requirement to deal with the implications of the DA under each title. Thank you very much to Justin Simons and the team for the preparation of that document. I will take it as read, so we'll go straight to 89, thank you, to the recommendation. The recommendation is on page 82, and that is that the development be approved subject to numerous different conditions, detailed from endorsed plans, engineering design drawbacks, engineering design drawings, engineering design drawings for TAS networks, signage, conditions, assessments of Cimetière Creek, road condition assessments, crossovers, vegetation removal, various different land slip provisions, an environmental management plan, and a construction traffic management plan, as well as runoff and conditions around damage to public infrastructure. To that end, I will therefore call for a mover, please. Councillor Mason is our mover, seconded by Councillor Lowe. Councillor Mason.
Thank you. As you stated, it's a very huge development, very good for the region. It ticks all the boxes as far as the environmental goes. It's a great presentation by our planner, Justin Simons. It's just taken the recommendation, 7 pages, so there's a lot of work in this. It'll be a great, ticks the boxes, like I said, for employment, long-term employment. This may only be the start. And I think it's one of the biggest solar farm jobs in Australia, I believe. So I'm more than happy to move the motion and ask the councillors to support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you. It was a lot to understand for a councillor that doesn't have a lot of experience in the space, but obviously the community put their representations in, so it was clear to understand what their concerns were and how the report does alleviate a lot of those concerns. I have no objections. Thank you.
With that, I'll open the floor to speakers for or against, or questions from anyone. Councillor Barwick.
That's amazing. Mr. Chair.
Councillor Mason, if you just push your microphone.
Sorry.
Just speaking to
you. Sorry. It was 1,300 pages of document. As soon as I got to the page that quite interested me, which was the Indigenous report that was in this document, and I said to you at the workshop what I was going to gladly have a comment to make, and my comment is that on page 66 of 360 report, the report that we got on this solar panel, I have always referenced the Indigenous tribe of this community, as the letter Amar Renee Renu Port Dalrymple people. You reference them and spell them another way. They are the Port Dalrymple people of the Northern Midlands Nation. There are four sites that are recorded within this northern region. The letter Amar Renar people retain a level of significance and important to the present and day Tasmanian Aboriginal community, which is section 9 of that report, which is very interesting, and they are still currently today not referenced as that, and I'd like to see us reference how it is in that report and what is said. Thank you.
Through the chair to the general manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I've previously communicated to councillors, our advice on the naming has been received from the Tasmanian Aboriginal Corporation. May I suggest, if you want to change or deviate from that recommendation, that there's a motion of council to support some of the future documentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Speakers for, against, questions? Councillor Mason to close.
Nothing to say, Mayor. Thank you. I think it's all been covered in the documentation.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll put this one straight to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. And the motion is carried unanimously. Can somebody please just invite Councillor Archer back? Thank you. That leads us to item 7.2. 7.2 details lot 200 Pipe Clay Bay, Georgetown. This is for residential. The report is straightforward. I think one representation received. The recommendation appears starting at the bottom of page 103, which is that this be approved. Again, there are a number of conditions pertaining to submission, construction, and environmental management to mention, but a few that will cover this. With that, I have no hesitation but to call for a mover, please, for item 7.2. Councillor Lowe is our mover. Seconded by Councillor Orr. Thank you. Councillor Lowe.
Yeah, thank you. So I mainly noted that the representor also was supportive of the application. There was just some things that they wanted to make sure that they were aware of with regard to construction for their business so it wasn't interrupted. And obviously with those conditions, that would be maintained in their application. So I'm happy to move.
Thank you very much, Councillor Lowe. Councillor Orr.
Continuing on what Councillor Lowe was saying, just an extension on subdivision on Pipe Clay Bay, so can't see issue with application.
Thank you kindly, sir. With that, I'll open it to the floor. Any speakers for or against or questions pertaining to? Looks like this could be an easy one. All right, there are none. I'll hand it back to Councillor Lowe to close.
Nothing further to add, thank you.
We'll put that straight to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. The motion again is carried unanimously. Short work today. Well done. If I can just say, I think that's the longest planning report we've ever received, 1,300 pages. Blimey. Yeah, I don't even know if that covers a lot of it, but anyway. All right, so the Office of the General Manager under Section 8. 8.1 pertains to council workshops that were conducted in April and May. Note the workshop held on Tuesday the 29th of April. Various different topics were covered there, as well as on Tuesday the 13th of May, Tuesday the 20th of May. A fair amount of work. I think whenever we have budget deliberations, we tend to meet as a group almost on a weekly basis for a number of months until we have thrashed that one out. So Thank you very much to all of the council and to the staff for their endurance during this phase. With that, I'll call for a mover to note the report. Councillor Mason is our mover, seconded by Councillor Ashley. Councillor Mason.
I'll move the officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Councillor Ashley.
I concur.
Thank you very much. I'll open to the floor. There being no speakers or questions, we'll put it straight to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Again, motion is carried unanimously. All right, the Australian Local Government ALGA National General Assembly. So once a year, all of the local government entities across Australia meet in Canberra to keep delegates abreast of all that is happening in the big picture of local government. We had a existing motion on the books for some time authorising the mayor and the general manager to attend these events. We do think that the motion suggests that we may want to consider broadening the potential delegate base to the mayor and the deputy mayor as voting delegates on LGA. And however, if either the mayor or the deputy mayor are unable to attend, that an alternative representative from the council could be sent in our place to represent us as a region. And for this one in 2025, we also approve that the director of organisational performance be authorised to attend. I will ask, do we have a mover? Councillor Mason is our mover. And Councillor Mason, are you going to call or are you going to make a nomination at the same time?
I will.
You will? Okay, I'll leave it over to you, Councillor Mason, as our mover.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Dawson for this role. Thank you.
Councillor Dawson is nominated. We will call for any other nominations to attend.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes, you may.
Is there anybody else missing a couple of pages out of their agenda? Page 118 and 119?
Yes, you should have 118. Are you short that one, Winston? Can I, Heather, can you just share with Councillor Archer? There we go. All righty. Thank you, Rick. Thank you. That's great. That's all right. Way to do it. Beautiful. I'll open to the floor. Are there any other nominations for attendees for this round?
I'm happy to accept the nomination because I'll be off work at the time.
You will be off work at the time, okay. So we have a deputy mayor who can attend, which is consistent with...
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, provision. I think that if you cannot attend with the deputy chair, I believe it's pertinent that if we have to send someone, that it be the deputy mayor.
Always, yes.
And I do not believe we have to send someone else to hold their hand. Because when I was the mayor, I had to go on my own. So I don't know why we have to send two people. And the cost can be anything over $10,000 for that trip, which is what the cost was the last time it came to the meeting when I asked for it publicly. The figure was $9,000-something.
Combined?
And that's... couple of years ago, actually, when you and the general manager went as a group together. Now, I could spend that money somewhere else or cut the rates down a bit. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Point of order, do we have a seconder?
No, we actually don't have a seconder, so Councillor Barwick has jumped the gun a little bit. Can I call for a seconder, given that no other nominations have been received? Councillor Ashley. All right, Councillor Mason, you're our mover, take it away.
I'm more than happy to nominate Councillor Dawson. He's one of our most experienced councillors. I think he's in his third term.
Yep.
He's already been involved in one of these, I believe. He's probably the most accomplished person in this room to represent us. It's a great networking event where you make good connections. That's proven in the past with the previous delegation. So I'd ask all councillors to support Councillor Dawson in this role. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Ashley.
I think Councillor Dawson's a great person for the role. He's had roles in other things and always been able to stand up, speak his mind and take our municipality forward, and that's what we need.
Thank you very much. Councillor Bark, are you comfortable that I count you as having spoken to the motion? Yes, I'm going to take that as a yes. Anyone else have anything to add? You may ask a question, of course, but I'm just saying that you've now spoken to the motion, but you may ask a question. Councillor
Orr. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, just a bit of a double up on item two. I don't think we need item two in there. We've already elected the deputy mayor already as an option. So,
correct.
Item three, I think the director of organisation, performance and strategy, with his previous experience and networking, I think it'd be a great opportunity for him to go to the National General Assembly for Local Government 2025, so I'll be supporting this motion.
Makes sense. Thank you very much. I'll open that to the floor. Any speakers for or against or questions? Councillor Archer, I see you have your microphone lit. Then I'll come back to you. How about that?
Has Council budgeted anything for to be spent on this, you know, within the current financial year?
Yep. Do you want to come forward? Thank you. I think it is. Yeah, it will be. Our Director of Corporate and Community, Cheryl Hyde, over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. Through the Mayor. Council has a budget allocation for conferences and seminars. This would be included in that budget allocation.
Thank you. And then Councillor Bark, you are next off the rank.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I don't know whether I should ask a question before I think of amending the motion. Reason being that it states in item three, approve the Director of Organisational Performance and Strategy, who is in the room today,
yes,
to attend the National General Assembly of Local Government. I question why. When, as I said, we need to have two people going. Why are we sending a staff member, which is not A, yourself, or A, that general manager?
Through the chair to the general manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think some of the movers, somebody speaking of the motions before raised some good points around both professional development and networking opportunities to present themselves in Canberra. What I will say is that with a nation of about 570 councils, you have almost 1,000 delegates, and they are not all elected members. It is quite common for executives to attend that event along with elected members.
Thank you. I'll speak very briefly to the motion and just say that not every year is going to be as productive as, you know, it's not a given. Sometimes you will have Parliament sitting, you will have open access to various different parliamentarians. Myself and the General Manager have in previous years had remarkably good access. I do believe we had a chance to meet with the PM, various different energy ministers, our local member for Bass, to talk and to advocate for our hydrogen interests in the region, with some success, I might add. It did culminate in the $200 million commitment for Bell Bay being committed and confirmed as a hydrogen hub. I think in other occasions we also used that to advocate for various different community assets, again with some success. It's not very consistent in terms of who can and cannot be there. I will note that this year, there is a strong theme of a Team Tasmania who will be present in Canberra. I recently attended the board meeting of the Northern Tasmanian Development Corporation, NTDC, which is the single economic development agency for the north. I know that they are planning on hosting networking dinners with various different functional, not ministers, but Tasmanian representatives from both sides of parliament who are planning on being in attendance, which I was surprised and delighted to hear. So I do think that there will be, aside from the actual content of the conference, there will be some very good networking opportunities. Personally, I would encourage the council to be a little bit broader so that we have a bit more flexibility. I worry about succession planning in the things that we do, and I think it would be a good investment as a community if a broader base of councillors get exposed to these things. I think it's a good way for them to develop their long-term skills as they grow into their local government roles, as well as staff. And again, as the general manager indicated, it's not like we are pioneering anything here. This is well accepted practice. There are literally over 1,000 attendees, if not more. Some councils literally send every single member of their council. Some fly solo. Some years don't attend. It's really a question of weighing up whether or not there's a return, and this year it looks like it's a pretty good bet. So I would encourage you to support this motion, and let's see what we can return. I remember in past years we've had very good debriefs from our attendees who have detailed the meetings held, the contents of the agenda, and what possible outcomes could lead from the investments. That's all I'll say. Thank you. Anyone else? Otherwise, I'll hand it over to close. Councillor Mason to close.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks very much, Greg, for accepting the nomination. We shall wait eagerly your return if you're successful and take it from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. With that, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye.
Can I just ask a question what the actual motion is now? Because I thought there was a suggestion that item two was being removed, but was it officially removed or not?
The motion is on the screen for you to observe. So it reads, item one, support the attendance of the Deputy Mayor to represent Council as a voting delegate at 2025 National General Assembly Local Government held in Canberra, 24th to 27th of June. And number two, approves the Director of Organisational Performance and Strategy to attend the National General Assembly of Local Government 2025. All those in favour, once again, please raise your hand. We have Councillor Keyser, we have Councillor Mason, we have Councillor Ashley, we have Councillor Archer, we have Councillor Harris, we have Councillor Lowe, we have Councillor Orr, we have Councillor Dawson. You abstained. Abstained. And against, we have Councillor Barwick. So an abstained vote for the voting record is counted as against, so the motion is carried technically by 7-2, noting the one abstained vote. The quarterly report, and I'll note that separately we have a upcoming workshop agenda item to re-look at this quarterly report. We have received interesting feedback from the community in terms of format and layout. There's a combination of tables and graphs. There's some content which I'm getting feedback is more relevant, less relevant. It needs a bit of a rethink, so we will commit to do that. However, this report, this motion 8.3, pertains to the quarterly report for quarter three, 1 January to 31 March. It is a comprehensive body of work that it aims to improve transparency in everything we do. I mean, there's, you know, the volume of data in this report is prodigious, to say the very, very least. Anyway, the recommendation is to receive the third quarter report and provide access to the report as part of our commitment to good governance. Can I call for a mover, please? Councillor Orr is our mover. Seconded by Councillor Harris. Councillor Orr.
Thank you, and thanks to the staff and directors for putting the report together. It's quite detailed. It is worth reading. There's information what the council has been up to for the third quarter of this year, including the what the youth are up to, straight A pool party, Bass Offenders went down to the Wooden Boat Festival, so broad range of items in the report, so I'd like to move the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Harris, a seconder.
Nothing further to add, but we'll have some good reading in front of us.
Indeed, indeed. I'll open that to the floor. Speakers for or against or questions? Councillor Lowe.
Thank you. I seem to have so many pages open on my computer, I can't quite find it in front of me at the moment, but there was in the motions to be removed, there was a couple that we discussed at workshop and made some alterations to some of the wording. In particular, my motion was one of those for the Marguerite Street property. I wanted to make sure it didn't sound to community like there was a result for that property.
Yep.
And then there was also Councillor Brooks's motion for the...
domestic violence.
Yeah, that yes. Still says completed. I thought that it would read that it was...
ongoing.
Or something that there was a system, some mechanisms changed, so not to say that report's been conducted or completed.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
Through the chair to the general manager.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've called a conversation. So for the gallery and anyone listening on audio, the motion was moved some time ago. A regional body was first established and then a statewide body was established and then it went beyond our borders. However, that work has stifled somewhat, but still very much a state government responsibility overall. The discussion was that this could be considered as part of work being done by the Health and Wellbeing Committee. So we can have the minutes or the report reflect that. And the other one you mentioned was a Margaret Street property. Yeah. Yes, that hasn't been completed. It needs to obviously say that zoning does not permit for various uses.
So pursuant to those two adjustments being made, would you be satisfied?
Yep, but I'll re-look over in case there's something else. I'll find my work. Thanks.
No, thank you. Only I mentioned that as in because you're still going to vote on the report, so I'd like to give you a commitment that that's going to be made. Yes. Good.
Maybe in future reports we could, I'm not sure how you deal with a motion that's been concluded that's not been actioned, something that we could put in there. So for the Marguerite Street property that... the intention was to be able to get it out for use by other people outside of council. And that hasn't happened and can't happen, so it's resolved, but it's not completed. How do we just word that in a report, I suppose?
Duly noted. Yeah, why don't we do that in a workshop when we discuss the format? I think we can maybe scratch that itch there too. All right, anyone else? Councillor Barwick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 59, 181.24, consideration new Crown agreements. We've talked about this before. I think Councillor Orr may have mentioned it at the last workshop, I'm not sure. But I have seen the title. We have got the title for the Weymouth Hall. That was done in November. I know there's the issue of adding talking with the title up at the cricket ground or the cricket area is totally different to the Hall lease one. So I thought I mentioned that should not be in there. It says in progress, but that's been done. Where the council all said something, I have no idea, but someone said something about that, and I brought it up myself. That shouldn't be there.
Through the chair, can I ask for the minute number, please?
Oh,
and minute and page number, please. We can do the officer responsible 22. For leases in here.
Sorry. No, it's not. It's 181.24.
Repeat that.
1137. 1137. I'm not talking about that one.
Sorry, clarify
that? Yeah, but I said I wasn't sure what you said, so
all right.
That should just let you go.
If you just indulge me, let's go.
Yeah.
Councillor Barwick, have you got a page number and an item reference for us? You got a page number for that item you just mentioned?
Yeah, page 59, I see.
Page 59, thank you.
Is it through you, Mr. Chair, is a resolution number 181/24?
Yeah.
And, okay, sorry, I'm just trying to understand. So your concern is it that Weymouth Hall is outstanding or completed?
It says they've already... I got a copy of that lease off the council.
Yes.
Just so it's that there is new Crown agreement. We've already got that one, so that needs to come off there. It's not in progress because it's happened.
Okay. Thank you. Now I understand what you're saying there. The motion itself, where it's got some complexities in it, refers to four different parcels of land. So I see what you're saying, is that item D can be removed from the resolution, or the commentary can be updated to say that that particular parcel of land has entered into an agreement, but others remain outstanding.
There we go. So A, B and C, yes, but not D.
Now my next one.
Yes.
100 over 20 goes back to the year 20, July 20, June 2020. Domestic family and sexual violence strategy put up by Councillor Brooks. That is not completed.
Yeah, we've just discussed that one. I don't know if you missed that, but we've just discussed that one. So, because...
Well, I can't hear over there. I've told you I needed to stuff up, and I warn you that I can't hear. I don't know if the gallery can hear what's going on. All the way around in that room.
Yeah. So look, not to...
But anyway...
So we have... let me just brief you.
Yeah.
So we have discussed that one because it is effectively a state initiative. It's gone beyond our remit at a local government and a council level.
What I am saying, Mr Chairman, as it was a motion of this council, it has to be rescinded by this council.
Yes, you could do that.
People jump in on me all the time. That is what I'm requesting here, that motion be rescinded. And it comes out the right way, not just ad hoc, as we do some stuff sometimes. And that needs to be rescinded. That's my comment on that one. How you address that, whether it's by a motion or, as you know, that you've been alerted, bring it back as a rescission to make it legal. The other one is I have concerns about item 02518, which goes back to the year 2018. It says here, and I think this may have been what, I'm not sure really what item Councillor Dawson may have been talking about, but that potential council land sales. This motion has done exactly what we as a council asked, and that was that the following items be deferred to a workshop. We brought that to a workshop, and it was all to do about land, etc. We now have to move a motion. It's not completed. We need to move a motion to bring this back to the table to be discussed again. We've done what the motion said at our council, which was to take it to a workshop.
Correct.
When we take things to workshops and we don't set times for them to come back to the table, they get lost, they never come back. And this is what's happened with this one since 2018.
All right, so through the general manager, through the chair to the general manager.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. From a reporting point of view, you're debating again.
It's all I can say is it's 025/18 is the item. You've got the number on the
page number is
63. Thank you.
41141.
Thank you.
So you're right, Councillor Barwick, that motion has been satisfied and it would require a motion of council if you want to bring it back for a decision of council that impacts any of those land parcels, if you want to bring them forward or have them reconsidered for any sale, that would require a motion of council. So,
but since you've satisfied the motion, it is effectively completed.
Off the register, yeah.
So can
we
remove
that, but that's
correct.
As far as it's gone, back to a workshop and nowhere else, because that's all we suggested.
But similar to the last suggestion, if you would like to have it brought back to council, you can have that done through motion or...
Okay. Can I do that?
I think you're debating one at the moment. Maybe after that you will have an opportunity to move a motion.
Well, we'll take it back up, yeah. And the other one that I...
We're in the middle of a motion right now, so and your microphone's off.
Okay, well, look, I will move that item.
No, hang on a second. You have
point
a
of order.
You're in the middle of a motion now, so why don't you we finish this motion, and then if you want to move a motion, you can move a motion in motions without notice in that section.
Right. Now, my next one is 061/23, Mount George Semaphore and Mars Lease. It says that council organised a general manager, which you can read there, to get that lease, and it's got ongoing. I know that the lease has been signed. And it's not only last month it was signed, or the one before, so that needs to be complete.
Our council's responsible officer for licences and the licensee has indicated that that has not occurred. So if you've got a copy of an executed lease, please bring it forward.
I do. I don't have a copy of the lease, but I did question it because of the questions that have come from the floor about that, and it's been going from how long has it been going?
I'm just going to reiterate so you can hear.
2023.
Don't know if you heard the general manager, but the officer in charge of the leases has indicated that that has as of yet not occurred.
Well, if I'd have had the other documents that people forget to follow up because they've got so many things happening.
If you can produce, produce a copy of the lease, we will attentive.
I will say again, I haven't got a copy of the lease. Right, so how can I produce
How about we commit to just making an update at the workshop?
So through you, Mr. Chair, if that's okay with
Councillor
Barwick, if I have officers come and give you an update on the status of where that licence application is at workshop, is that okay?
You may, yes. The other one that I, it's on the outstanding motions list, is the Hillwood Jetty Road, which is the one that I brought up actually at the last council workshop. I know that the council have already paid their fee for that, so I know that our officer did follow that one up and came back and reported that, so that is now just waiting on the information from them, but it was important on this one.
So I'm not sure what the action... What do you want to do? Do you want to change the status?
I'm just saying it says included on outstanding motion list.
Okay.
So it stays there on even after
as it is, so it stays as it is on the
I'm
report.
I'm saying I'm happy with it to stay there as after our report last week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Ashley.
Now.
No, Councillor Ashley. You may come and ask another question. I'm going to first go to Councillor Ashley.
I'm going to do a motion.
I don't want to rescind the motion on the domestic violence because I feel that with the new health and wellbeing committee that we are at the moment putting together, there'll be professional people on that committee that will be able to go down the road and help towards guiding people on where they should be going. I think if you look at the statistics on domestic violence and how many women get killed in Australia, and what happens, I don't think that that's something that we shouldn't be looking at. I think it's really, really important. And as far as I'm concerned, I think our Health and Wellbeing Committee should go ahead with their professionals, look at that, have a look, take guidance, and then if it needs to go to local government, I think it should go to local government.
Fair enough. All right. Was there anyone else before I return to Councillor Barwick? No. She still has indicated she has more questions to ask. Councillor Barwick, you have more questions?
No, I thought when you'd finish with me, with my questions and things, I was to do a motion.
No, you can move a motion in motions without notice, if you want to. So we'll execute this one, and then in motions without notice, you can then move a motion there if you like.
No.
Unless you have a foreshadowed motion. All right. Councillor Orr to close.
Thank you, Mayor. So this is the court report. We did go through the outstanding motions, I think, we've last meeting or the meeting before.
And the meeting before.
So, yeah. So, and we did discuss in our last workshop that we're going to re-look at the format of the court report, including where it says completion, and might have some comments on the completion, why they're completed, or some details of what we're doing next as well. So I look forward to that, those discussions. So I'll put the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Orr. We are now going to vote on item 8.3. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Archer, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr and Councillor Dawson. Against we have Councillor Barwick and Councillor Harris. The motion is carried 7-2. All right. Item 8.4, our Reconciliation Action Plan Working Group. As you know, our community has been actively working in the area of reconciliation for some time. However, the recommendation or the report basically has recommended that there is probably time for us to rethink the structure of that effort. It proposes an independent group wholly formed by our Aboriginal community, and then some governance around how we would support their activities moving forward. The recommendation is to receive the report. Can I call for a mover?
Mr. Mayor, if I may be indulged,
you may.
Could I request from Council that maybe the motion read that we acknowledge that the working group has been dissolved, and a new governance arrangement's being explored.
Right.
I'm concerned that there may be a very old resolution that actually formally recognised the group itself.
Right.
That may need to be incorporated in any motion of council to formally dissolve it.
If you can just work with Louise to make sure that is captured. I'll just wait for that to come up before we move forward. So we've got a technical glitch.
My apologies, I'll just need to remove the front screen and refresh.
Okay, don't just wait for a second, that's fine. We can all. Every now and then the technology doesn't work.
Okay.
Mayor, I move that the item be deferred.
That's a procedural motion. Can we, do you mind if we just pause so at least we know what we are deferring before we continue? Are you happy with that?
No, the item 8.4.
It hasn't actually even been moved at this stage, yes. It can be deferred if you want to. No, another meeting. How about we take a short recess, because we have to resolve this for the meeting to really... Not yet. All right, we are going to adjourn the meeting. The time now is 2:05. Let's give ourselves 10 minutes. At 2:15, we will resume. Thank you. Sorry about the delay.